guys. Welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and here, as always, is my co-host,
Graham K. What's up, everybody? How you doing?
Yes. How's it going out in beautiful New York City? Oh, you're not in New York City. Where are you at this week?
Oh, I'm in Toronto still, and I fly back to New York on Sunday. But just doing some corporate shows up here, which means
awesome.
Like a one night show at like companies. So they're always interesting shows because you have to be pretty clean, which is fine. I'm a pretty clean comedian, but you just have to. It's hard to laugh in front of your boss.
You have to mind your P's and Q's.
Know.
Yeah, people are always concerned about what if they're going to be judged for what they're laughing at, which is always funny. Like, listen, I said it. You didn't even say it.
Exactly. And there's always like a weird like lighting and it's
sounds
always like a
sucks.
Weird.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible. And the people are always seated all over the place and people are talking and there's always like the office clown is jealous. So he's always like heckling and stuff.
I could do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy who just kills at the water cooler. And so it's always a weird dynamic, but the money's good. So, but that's that.
You
I talked to my brother
you
on.
What you gotta
oh,
do.
Wait. Yeah, you gotta do. I do. We should set up the podcast. It's The Comedian's Guide to Autism, Autastic. That's the name of our show. If you're new to the show, I have an autistic brother who is 33, and Kirk has an autistic son who is more severe on the end of the spectrum, who's an adult now, and we're both comics. We used to live in L.A. together, and not together, but
we both used to live in L.A. How did this thing start? I bumped into you at a party, and I think one of our buddies was like, I think Grandma has an autistic brother, and I think that's how we kicked this thing off.
I think it's Eddie DeLaSeppi.
I think it might have been.
Eddie DeLaSeppi. And he's a mutual friend, and he introduced us. And he was like, you guys both have autistic family members.
And I had to push you a little bit to do this, to be honest.
Push me a bit. I wasn't sure if I wanted to. I just didn't understand how we could do a podcast about autism. Like, I didn't understand. Like, I couldn't imagine doing it for more than three episodes. Like, what else are we going to talk about? But as I have learned,
122 episodes, buddy.
There's a lot, and I keep doing it partially. One of the many reasons I keep doing it is because I learn a lot about my brother through doing it. I realized that I just sort of accepted things and stopped researching, and then this is. It's been really interesting for me.
It's really eye-opening, especially the genetic stuff. I know that I feel like, if I'm forced every week to do a little research into it, there's just a lot going on. Our last long-time listeners know last week we covered a genetics thing. This week, I don't want to tip our hand too much in the news, but it's going to be more of a public service one less. But first, let's talk about our week in review. Did you talk to Pete this week?
I did talk to Pete this week. But quickly, I wanted to say that I just remembered now. I think Eddie DeLaSeppi, not only our mutual friend Eddie, not only introduced us, but also gave us the name for this podcast. Autastic was his name.
I think you did do that.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, you made fun of him first, and then we used it.
Yeah, I was like, no, that's. I thought it was like offensive or something, and I just thought about it, and I was like, no. That's good.
That's funny.
But anyway. So I talked to my brother this morning. He's doing great. He's taking care of my parents' house. They're on vacation. And he used to love the movie Toy Story. First off, he starts talking about toys, And he's like, every once in a while this comes up. And he's like, is it okay that I like toys so much? Even though I'm an adult. And I'm like, it's totally okay, Peter. It's great that you love toys. A lot of adults these days love toys. Which is true.
Comics.
It's all over. Yeah, totally. I mean, I actually told him, I was like, Peter, my friend Greg Stone, who's a funny comedian, posted on Facebook, send me pics of your toys. And he posted a picture of all his toys, his action figures. And he's not autistic, I don't think. But it's perfectly acceptable these days. And so, I told him that story. He's like, okay. But I don't like the movie Toy Story anymore. I'm like, why? And he's like, it's a movie about a boy who likes his toys in the beginning and then doesn't like his toys when he grows up and he throws them out.
That's true.
And he was pissed off that the guy gave up on his toys and threw them out when he got older, and it made him self-conscious that he was supposed to do the same thing. And I had to sort of, even though I love Toy Story, I had to like crap on the movie Toy Story. You're like, yeah, he's an idiot. Even though I thought the third Toy Story was like the best of the three.
I don't know if I've seen the third one. I'll have to give that one a little peek.
It's fantastic. It's sort of really dark.
Wait, is that the one where they go to, the guy runs like a, what is it, the dump or something, and they get torn up?
Yes.
Or something? Oh, I have seen that one.
That's the one. Yeah.
That is dark. Yeah. But it's funny.
Yeah. It's funny. But anyway, I could be like, yeah, Toy Story sucks. You're the best. Toys are awesome. He's like, okay. And that's all he needed. He just wanted to make sure. And so, he does not care what time of day he calls. He will wake up at 6 and call me at 7. So that threw off my sleep cycle because I wake up at 9:30 and then I'm awake for like an hour, but I've only got 6 hours sleep. So then I have like a nap and then I like wake up and it's like 12:30 and my day is like ruined.
With your brother's love, your brother's love is ruining your day. I love it.
Yeah. It's just a huge cross I'm bearing. But it's fine. Also, I was staying at a place that had a dog, and it's a giant dog. He's a half Burmese mountain dog and half poodle, and he's 80 pounds.
Oh, boy.
And he's not fat. He's just huge. He's like an actual giant bear. And he just crawled into bed with me, and he forced me to spoon him.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, so my brother and then this bear came into my bed. It was just, but anyway, my brother's doing pretty well. He is not working out as much, so I think he's gaining weight again. I saw him a couple days ago, and he still wears these like, he's supposed to wear extra large shirts. I told him so you only buy XL t-shirts, but he I don't know where he's finding these small XL shirts. I don't know if he's getting with the woman's section or something, but he's just shoehorning himself into these shirts, some of them. And I had to tell him to give away two of his favorite shirts, and it was like he was pissed. He was really pissed at me. He's falling out of these shirts.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. But he's doing okay. I mean, everything else is great. His spirits are good. But he's not working still. But his job coach says that maybe in February. Well, we are in February. Maybe sometime later in the month, we might have some leads on a new job.
Well, let's... What do you think? Should we do a little in the news? I think this is a good one this week. I helped pick this one out.
You certainly did. I think you picked it up.
This is a Newsweek article. There's two articles we'll do today, but the Newsweek article published today talks about mom accused of giving bleach like solution to cure child of autism. Indianapolis.
She should have listened to this podcast because we talked about that.
We have talked about this before.
Yeah.
About a year ago, maybe. And so maybe it's time to cover it again. But Indianapolis police are investigating an incident where a mother reportedly created a dangerous chemical mixture to try to cure her child of autism. The mother mixed hydrochloric acid and a water purifying solution, which includes chlorine, for her child to drink after reading about a miracle mineral solution, or MMS, on a Facebook group, which is the best place to get all your medical advice.
Yep.
Treatment includes giving children chlorine dioxide orally or with an enema. The Department of Child Services now removed the child from the home after the father reportedly accused his wife of trying to give their daughter bleach. In the autism community, the mixture is controversial, which experts say has deadly consequences. Dr. Thomas Frazier, chief scientist, offers autism awareness organization Autism Speaks, told Newsweek that parents often turn the mixture out of desperation, and parents can become frustrated when they're not able to access the care they think is effective. So they begin to get desperate and to try to think of things they can do on their own. So
I don't care if you're being desperate. You have to use common sense.
You have to use common sense, but I will say this. I remember probably 10 years ago hearing about this. Somebody recommended this to me, and I don't remember who off the top of my head, but they recommended this bleach solution, and we looked into it. I read about it. This is, you get desperate. You get like you're not sleeping. He's all over the place. You know, you get desperate, and then people that you trust tell you they've had a good experience with it, and so you look into it. Thankfully, we never did it. We read about it, and then it just didn't seem like the smart thing to do. But I want to just say this is not a place of judgment to our families out there listening, but just common sense. Like, experts say do not do this. So, yeah. And then the second article, should we go through the second one real quick?
Yeah.
This is Forbes, which is not your usual place to get all your autism needs, but there you have it. Came out today as well. Bruce Y. Lee. That's his name. Huh. Anyway.
You got to use the middle name. You got to use the middle name if you have a famous person's name. You got to throw that in there. Like Michael B. Jordan.
Well, yeah, if Bruce Lee was writing articles about autism, I'd be impressed. If you were, yeah. 20 years after his death. Yeah. Okay, so here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Do not make your kids drink bleach chemicals to treat autism. That's the title, which I'm not even sure we need to read the whole article.
Yeah. Bruce Lee knows.
Last time I checked, this is a typical warning on a bleach bottle. Keep out of reach of children. Danger. Corrosive. But some parents are reportedly giving their kids to drink the same chemicals found in industrial bleach in an attempt to cure autism. WTH. No, MMS. MMS stands for Miracle Mineral Supplement or Miracle Mineral Solution or Master Mineral Solution. And he talks about the article saying it. Take a look at the description from MMS from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's press release of sentencing a man who was charged with selling MMS. What is MMS besides a supposed miracle? Take a look at this description of MMS from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's press release on sentencing a man who was charged with selling MMS. MMS is a mixture of sodium chloride and water. Sodium chloride is an industrial chemical used as a pesticide for hydraulic fracturing and for wastewater treatment. Sorry, I'm not laughing. Sodium chloride cannot be sold for human consumption, and the suppliers of the chemical, including a warning sheet stating that it can be potentially fatal if swallowed. According to the press release, the man had instructed chemicals to combine MMS with citric acid to create this little potion that he does. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's really, it's unbelievable.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. And there's
it's crazy. I mean, I go ahead.
I was going to say there's a little segment on Good Morning America that I will link to in our Facebook. I'll try to do this today on a church who uses bleach as a miracle cure. So longtime listeners know I'm on the God side of this podcast. We've got two opposing views, but listen to what your pastor says and then test it against the Bible and common sense. So no bleach, duh.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, maybe go to a new church if they tell you to put bleach in your son or daughter.
Oh man, I'm not making fun, guys. I know people get desperate too, but not a good idea.
It's amazing. It's amazing that somebody you trust would tell you that. It's like, yeah, my son was more calm after I fed him bleach because he was gravely ill and couldn't move.
Yeah, he's dying.
You know, but he's nonverbal, so I didn't know, and so I thought he was just calmer. You know, people are. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's just amazing that we think we've progressed so much as a society since like the Wild West snake oil salesman. You know, but we haven't.
Well,
still going on.
And this isn't like a justification.
Anything that says, go ahead.
I was just going to say, people get desperate. That's what it is. People get desperate. They don't see a future. They don't see it. And then somebody, they hear from somebody they trust, like, oh, this works. But we're here to tell you it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to have your family drink bleach. So.
I understand. I mean, it's hard for me to, as not a parent, but it's just, you know, I just think that anything that says miracle in it is not a miracle.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah, be careful with that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone's claiming it's a miracle. You know, it's probably poison. But anyway, yeah, I don't think we need to tell most of our listeners that. But had they had this woman listen to our podcast, she wouldn't have done that. Is the kid okay? Do we know?
It doesn't say.
Huh.
It says he's removed from their care for social services. But yeah.
The child is alive.
The child is alive.
That's good. All right. Should we move on to the next article?
Yes. The next article.
This one was sort of hit closer to home to me because this is on CBSNews.com, and it is about the growing acceptance of people with autism in the workplace, which I do believe is happening. I've certainly seen just generally, you know, people being more accepting of my brother just on the street, in social situations. It was much more embarrassing. Also, I was a kid, so I was more easily embarrassed, but it was much more stressful, and people used to give a lot more looks back in the 90s and 80s. And I do think, like, television shows have helped with stuff like that. Like, there's people with autism on TV now.
Yeah, I think the television shows at least provide for awareness, even though we've kind of given our opinion on some of the different points of view they do. But, yeah, it definitely raises awareness, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I finally saw that that show, The Good Doctor.
What'd you think?
The show was fine. It's a fine show. It has nothing to do with my brother. But, you know, there are situations that I could empathize with and relate to where, yeah, you know, the people who know him get it, and the people who are new to it don't get it, and the people who know him are like, you know, it'll be fine, it's fine, he's fine. You know, so.
Well, I think it's like we talked about and we reviewed it, is it's good as far as raising awareness, but you are presenting a very specific and limited view of a person with autism who that's great, and their situation is valid and cool, but not my son's situation for sure.
No.
And so if your kid's nonverbal and not potty trained at 13, watching The Good Doctor might rub you the wrong way. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Your son would not be a good doctor.
No.
No.
Rule number one, don't poop in your hands and wipe it on the wall. Took us a long time to teach him that. A long time. I'm serious. So.
I'm glad he learned it, though.
I'm glad, too. That was a big victory. That was a big victory.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he would do is he'd have an accident, and then he didn't want it in his pants, take it out of his pants, and then place it on the floor. Then he'd have some on his hands, and then he's like, I don't want this on my hands, and wipe it wherever he could. So, yeah, fun times.
Makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Good times. We had those. It's like having the prints on the wall in French caves, except for his maiden.
Bless you, buddy.
Yeah.
You went through it. I'm glad that you're not dealing with that anymore. I can't imagine how stressful that would have been. But anyway, so this article is, do you want to set it up? I've already set it up. Do you want to give it a quick read-through?
Quick read-through, sure. So the title of this article is The Growing Acceptance of Autism in the Workplace. 27-year-old Christopher Pauly thought he had it all figured out when he came looking for a job. He had a detailed spreadsheet of each and every position he'd applied for, at least 600, and despite his degree in computer science from Cal Polytech, he had spent almost 2 years with barely a nibble. Did he get discouraged? Oh my gosh, my morale really started to drop towards the end. In fact, there were days where I would either hardly fill out any applications at all or simply not apply on anything. He knew he had the smarts for most jobs. He was a former spelling bee champ, after all. Sorry, I read that sentence weird. But Paul struggles with social and communication skills because he's also autistic. While precise numbers are hard to come by, some estimate as much as 80% of adults with autism are unemployed, even though their IQs are often well above average. Sometimes the job skills present themselves in unique ways. For Christopher, it's video games. His ability to recognize patterns and his acute attention to detail, both hallmarks of autism, make his play in the video game Rock Band look pretty easy. They are the skills that he was hoping would impress prospective employers in the computer programming world. But he always had to get past the interview, which is a challenge at best. There was, in any of those interviews, a time where they just wanted to tell somebody, look, I know my social skills aren't quite what you'd expect, but I know I can do this job, and I know I can do a really good job if you give me a chance. Yeah. Yes? Mm. Yeah, but did you ever say that to anybody? No, most of the time, no, he replied. Why? I just wasn't comfortable enough, and it may come across as desperate. Let me scan forward a little bit. Go ahead.
No, it just sounds frustrating. I don't think my brother could ever go through an interview. I think he'd have to have somebody in the room with him to advocate for him. I don't think he could ever do that. But he has had people in the room advocating for him. His job coach what I wanted to talk about this article, like why I suggested this article, is because it just reminded me of my brother. And yes, there is growing. I assume at the end of this article, he has a job and everyone accepts him. But like it's to a degree, you know what I mean? Like in The Good Doctor, people accept him because he's not, his autism is not infringing on other people, really, you know? Where my brother just got fired from his job or laid off because he couldn't stop talking to people.
Yeah.
He couldn't stop interrupting them at their work and telling them stories about how he was bullied in high school, like every single day, the same story. You know what I mean? And it's like, how much acceptance is acceptable or do you expect people to have? You know, I'm really like I was upset when I first found out, and then I thought about it, and I was like, if I was sitting at that desk, I'd be like, I can't do this anymore. I have to work. And he's a chit chatter. But also people just need to be like, they also need to learn how to like deal with somebody with autism. Like they need to know that today Peter called me too early, and when he was done getting away, need to talk about it, I was like, okay, I got to go, Peter. And he was like, okay, bye. And he hung up right away. Like, all you have to do, for Peter, if he's at your desk talking, all you have to do is be like, hey, I got to work, so I can't talk. And he'll be like, okay. Like, there's no offense.
He doesn't experience offense. That's what jumped out at me about the article, too, is the communication is the biggest problem. So I would say try to err on the side of over-communicating, right? Because when the interviewer says, when the young man says, hey, I can do this job, and the interviewer goes, did you ever tell them that? No, I didn't. Well, you got to tell him.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it's going to come off as weird, but if you're at 600 applications and nobody's biting, like, it might be time to switch up the MO.
Yeah.
I know I sound like such a dad, but I feel like, you got to tell him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. Anyway, do you want to finish the article?
Yes, let's finish the article. So then it transitions into basically Microsoft is at Microsoft. However, there's no need to hide his autism. They were looking for it. It's a talent pool that really hasn't been tapped, says Jenny LaFleur. I don't know. Chief accessibility officer at the tech giant for Seattle. There's really, really a lot of data on the table that says we're missing out on opportunities to bring talent in with autism. And this LaFleur, who is profoundly deaf, communicates by reading lips and working with an interpreter. She helped create a hiring program for Microsoft back in 2015 designed to better identify candidates with autism. Instead of the traditional job interviews focusing so heavily on social skills, the company's replaced it with a vetting process that lasts for weeks with team-building exercises like the one called the Marshmallow Challenge. Being able to watch a candidate in an environment as opposed to sitting across from the interview table makes all the difference in the world. I think that's what it's going to come down to. You're going to have to create, this is Kirk talking, not the article, but you're going to have to create a system that allows them to prove that they can do the job. Because interviewing for the job isn't the same as doing the job. You know, the same thing in comedy, I think, sometimes. Auditioning for the thing is not the same as doing the work. So there's people that are great auditioners. And, that's not the same thing.
Yeah, I'm very good at the interview. And I'm very bad at the job. I'm the opposite. I'm the exact opposite. I'm all bark.
All sizzle. It's all sizzle. No steak.
Yeah.
I love it.
I always would get jobs, and then they'd be like, we thought you'd be so much better.
That's funny. That's really funny.
Yeah, well.
We thought there was hidden depths to you. Nope, no depths. That's about it for this week, guys. I did want to cover a note. We got a note, and send us your messages. We're going to do a reader mail one here maybe next week. So send us your messages now if you want them read on the air or you want to contribute something. But I did want to read, this one is from Hersey, and the last name is C. And she says that there's a rumor that there is a reality TV series coming on MTV that's is casting autistic people. So if you're in Southern California and you're interested in that, that's and she wants to know what our take on that. Is it representation or is it exploitation?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a tough one.
It sounds like it's like this. I don't know. You don't want to like censor it right away. You don't want to be like a helicopter parent and be like, maybe it's good. Maybe it's good for getting the word out about people with autism. I doubt that in this day and age they get away with, you know, exploiting them. But you never know. There's a show, those like Little People, Big World show. It's like that to me is exploitation. Most people are looking at that not for the right reasons, and you worry that people are going to do the same thing. With this show about people with autism, I tend to believe that people aren't that cruel.
I think when we see it, we'll know, and then call them out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. That's an interesting note. Yeah.
Yeah. Send us your notes next week. We'll read them all on air and tell us if you do not want if you want your name pronounced. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I assume you do not.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, guys. Take a second to follow us on Instagram. I'm posting this week the photo of JJ walking with his dog. I'm at Kirksmith Comedy, and I posted the article on the Facebook account Autastic Podcast. Follow us there. Give us a like. If you could take a second to rate and review us on iTunes. We appreciate it. It helps the algorithm. I don't know what that means exactly, but it helps people listen. You can also just tag your friends in the podcast and people that you think might enjoy it. This week, Ice House, what do you got going on, Graham?
Oh, just a bunch of these corporate gigs up in Southern Ontario, Canada, in Toronto. And back in New York for a week, and then off to LA to do some shows for 2 weeks. So I'll see you. We'll do some live recordings of this podcast
in the studio,
just like the old days in a studio apartment. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
All right, guys, we love you. You can do it.
Yep.